What are the five discipleship questions? Go. Somebody raise your hand. Jace, stand up. Stand up, buddy. What's God saying to you recently? That's one. What's the number two? Stand and deliver. You're committed now. You don't remember? Aren't you going on the Guam trip with me this week? We're looking for a substitute for Jason for the ministry trip. Dan, I can count on you. Go ahead, stand up. What are you doing about it? What's God saying to you recently? What are you doing about it? You got number three?
How can I help you?
No. Stan?
How can I help you?
No. I love you anyway. Barb? I mean, the Lord and I were talking about this. I said, oh, this will be a slam dunk, God. We'll get through this quickly. We'll have plenty of time for ministry. Vern, stand up, Vern. We're on number three. What's getting in the way? What's God saying to you recently? What are you doing about it? What's getting in the way? Number four. Yeah, who are you influencing? Who are you bringing along? And then number five. How can I help you? You've got hand motions. Stand up and give the hand motions. All right, here we go. This is. Go.
How's it going?
How's it going?
What's getting in the way?
What's getting in the way?
Who are you bringing
along? From now on, I'm just going to have Mia teach that, because clearly I am not an effective communicator. Oh, my goodness gracious. The reason I did that pop quiz, as we do from time to time at Blue Water, is because those are questions that we kind of use and everybody remembers and has committed to memory and recites to themselves every morning. Because, you know, it structures our discipleship with the Lord. It sort of reminds us of how to be walking in the world and how to, you know, make sure that we're influencing and loving people and helping people and all of that other stuff. But you'll notice that the whole thing starts with listening to the Lord, right? Question number one is, what's the Lord saying to you recently? Because the entire Bible underscores the importance of that question. I don't know if you've read this book. I recommend it. It's not a quick read, but it's a good one. In case you haven't, I'll summarize it. I'll summarize the entire Bible for you right now. The entire Bible is this. God speaks to people in real time, and they respond, and then a lot of cool things happen. That's the entirety of the Bible. Like, every cool story in the Bible is exactly that. It all starts with hearing the voice of God, and then doing something about it. When I was a little kid, I became a Christian early. My family wasn't, you know, church going, but I had some Christian babysitters. They introduced me to Jesus, and I got church experience and snatches here and there because my childhood was really unstable, and we moved around a lot. And nobody in my early childhood took the time to really teach me what it looked like to listen for the voice of God in real time, like in my actual daily life. I was a spiritually sensitive little kid, like really sensitive, as children often are before the world beats it out of them. And I had loads of experiences of like picking things up supernaturally or spiritually. You know what I'm talking about? Like just because I'm wired this way, I would very often dream at night the following day's events. I would sometimes dream the outcome of like major sporting events that I was thinking about, you know, when I was watching the World Series or something like that. Could have made a lot of money. No, couldn't find a bookie. Just a kid. Or, you know, sometimes I would dream disasters and something like that. I was reflecting on that all this week as we approached our prophecy service this morning. And I think, well, when's the first time that I can remember God actually giving me an instruction, right? So I would pick up spiritual information all the time. I would get these premonitions, and I knew the world was spiritual and there was something behind the curtain. But when's the first time that I can remember God actually giving me an instruction to obey? And that took me a while. I'm not sure I have the right answer, but I can remember when I was 16 years old, I was in my bedroom one evening. I was like lying on the bed. I was reading something for homework in the evening, and I felt what I would describe as the voice of the Lord. I kind of felt a physical pulse when it came to me, like it had physical force to it. And I kind of heard this voice somewhere in my head say, you got to pray for Paul right now. He's about to be in danger. And Paul was my best bud at high school. And there was such a sense of urgency. So I threw myself off the bed and I kind of dropped to my knees on the carpet. And I just started praying for Paul's safety. Oh, Lord, send an angel right now. Keep him safe. And I just went on like that for about 10 minutes. And then I just felt like the job was done. It's an interesting experience. And this was before cell phones. So like I couldn't like text Paul or call him or anything like that. So I just got up and I got back on my bed and I started reading. And a few minutes later, our house phone rang. I don't know if you guys know, but telephones used to be like installed on walls and stuff, right? And then there, it would ring. And then you'd have to like walk and pick it up, and there was like a wire that attached to like other wires, and it all made sense. It all made sense. And so somebody answered the phone and said, you know, Jordan, it's for you. So I went and picked it up, and it was Paul. And he said, man, I was just in a traffic accident. I just totaled my car. I don't know why I didn't fly through the windshield. I said, oh, dude, I've been praying for you. Anyway, little story, little things happen sometimes. And we could talk about why God does things like that and why, you know, prayer is important and all of that other stuff. But one of the many experiences that I've had that suggests that God is speaking, he's a fairly chatty fellow. All the really great spiritual humans are introverts, as we know. But God, deceptively chatty, as it turns out in the world. And I am assured by reliable sources in my own home that a relationship is built on communication. And the same applies to our relationship with the living God. That the best way to have a relationship with him is to have a conversation with him. And every authority that we have and every fundamental experience of my life suggests the same thing, that God is active in the here and now and that God has said something to you recently. My job is just to ask you a question and figure out what it is to help you listen. That's a huge part of what we do around Blue Water Mission, because your fundamental relationship is with the Lord. And then if you are so blessed, you have a lot of other cool relationships with cool people whom we keep inviting. They never show up, but, you know, we have what we have, people. We have what we have, and we do our best for each other. There are loads of scriptures in the Bible about what we call prophetic ministry, like me hearing the voice of the Lord and sharing what I hear with you. Right, that's like a three-way conversation. It's a group conversation with God, and what a church is, in large part, is a group in conversation with the living God. So we are very much a group in conversation with the living God. I think of this verse, these few verses from the book of 1 Corinthians, which is a letter that this guy Paul wrote to a newish church in a bustling city called Corinth. In Greece, Corinth was a super rich city, super smart, very cosmopolitan, known for a lot of licentiousness. It was sort of the San Francisco of the day. Paul is giving the young church in Corinth advice on how to run a church service, like what to do when you get together. And he's kind of going out of his way to describe church as a group in conversation with God. And he says to them, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn or a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. And that's reflexive, building each other up. What Paul is saying there is that when you come together as a church, bring it. Bring it, guys. Like, bring whatever you have. What do you have this morning? Well, some of you are going to have a hymn, a praise song to sing. You know, we saw that. Some of you are going to have an instruction, which is along the lines of what I'm doing right now. Some of you might speak in tongues, which is another spiritual gift we can talk about sometimes. Like whatever you have, bring it. Let all things done. Like everybody's got wealth to share with the group. And then let two or three prophets speak. These are people that are really good at hearing God's here and now supernatural voice. Let two or three of them speak, and let the others, the other prophets, weigh what is being said. And if a revelation is made to one who's sitting there, well, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that you all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophet are subject to prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. He's describing a situation in which you get together, there are going to be a lot of people in the congregation who are gifted at hearing God's voice in the here and now. Let them speak, you know. Let them share with other people what God is saying on that given morning. And, you know, if the first one's speaking, but the next one gets a word, then the first one should shut up, you know, sit down and give the next guy a turn, you know, and so on and so forth, in order that the full messages of the Lord be heard. And just, you know, his only advice is, you know, keep it as orderly as you can. Keep it as orderly as you can. And I love that idea of church. I love the idea of church in which so many different people are bringing so many different good things to share, that the challenge is just to keep it organized and orderly. You know, it's not just one guy ministering, God forbid, but it's the whole body ministering one to another. That's a great picture of a group conversation. Us speaking to God, God speaking to us speaking to each other on behalf of God. It's beautiful, yeah? All right, so that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna be as normal as possible. According to the Bible, we're going to be a church like Paul was describing. We're just going to invite up some prophetically gifted people, and they're going to share messages with those of you who have come today. They might call you out. They might say, hey, a strappingly handsome man in the black t-shirt in the front row, would you please stand? And if they do that, then there you go. That's the model. And then instead of me quizzing you, they will tell you something. And they might ask, does that make sense or is that accurate? And you can say yes or no, because they're not perfect. Nobody is. But they are trying to hear the voice of the Lord. And a lot of times what you hear is, as it says, strengthening and encouraging. And that is our goal. And then, at the end, when I say, what's God said to you recently, you have an answer. You have an answer because you've stepped into a group that is in conversation with the living God. Amen? So that's what we're going to do today. That's the biblical explanation. So I will call up, I don't know, you know, probably 10 different people in the course of our meeting this morning. And they will just have words for individuals to share. Again, these guys are not perfect. You'll be able to tell that just by looking at them. But all of them have a pretty decent track record. You know, all of them have had experiences like I had with respect to my friend Paul. You know, we all know that they are pretty trustworthy when it comes to hearing the voice of the Lord. So let's start by inviting up the veterans, you know, the people that have been doing this for years, you know, John and Janelle. Bernie, you can come up if you want. And you know who you are, and we'll give these guys first crack, and then as it goes, I will invite up some of the younger prophets in training. But you're so color coordinated. This is Mindy. Sorry.
Yeah, we're good. I've forgotten your name next to Sarah. What's Sebastian? Yes. So I had a picture of a dragon in a tornado, like this idea that these two scary things are fighting it out. Like the tornado is like the Holy Spirit, like the God Spirit, and then the dragon is this tough thing that you've been wrestling with. And the idea is like they're both kind of scary. They're both powerful, but let them fight it out, and then you're free to watch or to do the work that you need to do. And so I just an encouragement to let the Holy Spirit fight for you with that thing that you've been struggling with instead of you having to constantly battle it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. And then I had one for Stefan's wife. Yes, I haven't met you. I met Stefan, but I saw.
Can you stand up?
Stand up. See,
there
yeah, thank
is.
You.
There
I'm not following
is.
The model. I'm sorry. Okay. So I get the idea that it's time to turn from battle to harvest. Like I saw you, like you know the scene from it's the movie with Russell Crowe where he's running the hand through the wheat field, Gladiator. Yeah. Like you come home and you're now ready for harvest coming out of the battle. And I think it's specifically in your family. Has there been some like battle type things in your family, some rough things in your family recently? Okay. And so I just think it's time to turn from a fighting posture to a harvest this year, and the ability to kind of let down some of the armor and have some vulnerability and be able to make that harvest. It's still hard work. Harvesting is hard work, but it's not fighting. So if that helps.
Thank you.
Okay. Janelle. I have a word for this woman in the second row in the black dress. Hi, you said, what's your name?
Vika.
Okay, Vika. So I got a picture of you kneeling on the ground and kind of sweeping your hands around you and things growing from that. Do you work at all with like natural resources or with land at all? Okay, well, I got the sense of like space, you know, maybe it's natural resources, but more just like the space and sanctification of the space is like a gift of yours. So you might be kind of pulled to mentorship or directly working more with people, but really where your calling is more in preparing space for people and holding space. And there's a very, it's significant, right, to come into a space that's holy, to come into a space that has already God's Spirit in it. So that should be your focus rather than like, oh, I need to, you know, build up all this mentorship and discipleship, but just focus on that gift of preparing space for people. Does that make sense?
I had one also for you, Vika, and it goes along with that, I think. But this idea of the most important thing you can pursue right now is the voice of God. And I really feel like God's talked to you. In fact, God's even said some things like, put a pin in it, like, wait for that. There's some things he told you that, and then told you, like, don't do that yet, but it's coming. And I think just preparing that space, right? A garden is a place that takes effort. A forest is a place that, you know, the Lord already created. But that idea of listening to the Lord, and he's speaking to you a lot, but give more space for that. So we just bless in Jesus' name your ears, that you would hear even more of his voice and that you would know even more of his direction. And I just bless the ways he has already talked to you and for you to trust those. And we just seal up any other voices that try and speak to you. In Jesus' name.
I have another one for this woman next to Courtney. Hi, what's your name?
Sophia.
Sophia, okay. So I got a word related to, I think it's your career. So I saw a very small pine tree with the bottom trunk is like huge and like really, like has grown a lot, but the rest of the pine tree is really small. And so that represented to me like you've been in a season of working out a lot internally, like at the bottom, like within yourself, but haven't yet felt confident to kind of externalize all the good internal changes that have happened. And so I think I saw the tree actually being stretched and growing. So I think now is the time to stretch and grow in the ways that you felt yourself already change internally. So I'm not sure if you're considering this, but I felt like maybe mental health or social work, a career connected to that, something that is really working with a lot of broken people, but you're not really sure about if you're qualified. But the word is that you are qualified because you've done the groundwork. Does that make sense? Is that good? Okay.
I have something. Sophia? I saw you in a small tent that was placed inside a larger tent, right? It's like a huge, like almost cathedral-sized tent was the big one. And then I saw you stepping out of your small tent into the large one and being just as home there as you were in the little one. So I think the Lord is taking this this career that Janelle's talking about, you know, where you're just working hard to take care of a few people and putting you in a place where you just get a much larger ohana, a much larger network, yeah? But I feel like the promise of the Lord that was on this is that as you are exposed to the larger network of what you do, that you'll actually have more intimate relationships than you had even inside the small environs. Does that make sense? And that when you experience that, you're like, wow, you know, suddenly I have more intimate partners than I ever have. And that will be a sign to you that the move that the Lord is doing in your ministry is actually of Him. It's actually good. And it's like a signpost for you that it's the right direction. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Okay. One more. For the woman in blue next to Johnny and Joanne. Hi. What is your name?
Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. So I saw a picture of you dancing hula and wearing a lepo'o. Do you dance at all? Okay, so it represented to me worship, but I wasn't sure if it was specifically dancing worship too. But the crown of flowers represented anointing, so I feel like God was saying you're anointed worshiper. And the phrase that I got is intercessory worship. And so your dance or your worship, that act of worshiping God, is not just like to usher in His Spirit, but also a form of prayer for yourself and for other people. And then I got the sense that maybe you haven't been doing that recently because of like a blockage, like there's something like a specific healing that you're looking for that God hasn't come through on yet. And so the breakthrough is going to happen when you start operating your gifts again and actually start doing that intercessory worship for yourself and for other people. Yeah, so I just bless you, Hannah, just to reconnect with God in that special way of intercessory worship, just feeling His love for yourself and for other people, and just to, yeah, reconnect with Him as a father and as somebody who loves you more than you could ever know. Yeah, and I just bless the breakthrough that's going to happen for you and other people as you operate in that, in Jesus' name.
Just very quickly, Hannah, I hear the Lord say that as you have interceded, as you have prayed for the large family of God, God will reward you like right now with in this season of life with just a blessing on your own personal family. You know, you stood up for His. He will strengthen yours for sure.
I think I have a word for the guy next to Hannah. I'm guessing you guys are a couple. Yeah. Okay, cool. I felt like, what's your name, sir?
Thomas.
Okay, Thomas. I felt like that I could see like a teaching gift on you. And I think it is in some ways more direct or traditional in that it's like teaching from the Bible and speaking to people, but it's strongly rooted in personal experience. Like not just like a Bible school, like, oh, I read this and I know what it means and somebody taught me what it meant in the old times or something like that. But it's more like practical, like being able to speak from experience. And I felt like I really saw you two like leading a small group. Yeah. I feel like you have that teaching, speaking, relating it to people, and you have the like hospitality and welcoming in, like, I don't know, embracing gift. And that seems like that's going to be very powerful for you too. And I felt like, I don't know if you already run a small group. You do? Okay. Then I feel like there's something about this first quarter of the year where it sort of picks up and you guys like both start flowing and seeing influence there in the people that are attending the small group.
Yeah, I had something for both of you also, which was about your house. Sometimes I could see like the turbulence in the air over your home, and I just wanted to encourage you. Sometimes the things that seem like trouble are actually the Lord. He's stirring things up in you and around you. You're doing the work of the Lord, and it's messy. And don't assume that the trouble in your life is because you're doing something wrong. It actually could be that you're doing everything right, and I think that's where you guys are at. The other thing that I felt strongly was, like, you have this home of hospitality. It's a good time to tend the home, tend the hospitality part. And it's hospitality to the pestilence. It's hospitality to the mice. It's hospitality to the bugs. It's the things of life, the creatures of life, the more maybe more difficult people, that you actually have a unique calling to bless them and to create a home where they are welcome and where they find a home. And so I just bless you, and we just cover you in Jesus' name with the ability to continue that and to grow even more in that power of your home and your ministry.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
One for the young lady in the black top. What's your name? Ella, hi. So I saw you doing bicep curls, and just bicep curls. Normally when we work out, like, we want to be kind of even in working out our whole bodies, but you were just focusing on one thing. And so I think it is a season just to strengthen one spiritual discipline, to pick one, and then just get it really, really dialed in and strong. Not worry about being too balanced over everything, but just really focus in on that one. So do you have one spiritual discipline that you think you could work out?
Or maybe a ministry.
Our ministry? Okay, well... Well, maybe something to pray about.
I had something for you about this is a season of aggression, and you're a nice woman, but this is actually a season of aggression, and that the things that feel like they don't lock in your life will lock in when you're actually aggressive. When you actually have some, I could see like the bite of the Lord coming into your mouth and him snapping it in, and those teeth are for taking bites. Like, you're a very sweet and kind woman. You're very slow to anger. You are very kind. You do not say the aggressive and mean things, but the Lord has some real bite that he wants for you to use. And then you just take it out. But actually, I think that you will fall into greater sweetness and greater joy when you kind of say the thing that needs to be said. You get good discernment from the Lord. You know the thing that somebody needs to hear. And the corrective word is actually grace, right? The corrective voice, the thing that says, don't do that, watch out. That's actually incredible grace and incredible love and joy. So just bless that in you in this season. Do those bicep curls, right? Do that.
I think you're right about the powerful words and the speaking, John, the prophetic gift. John Lazenby.
You got another one?
I have so many more. Go. I'll just go ahead.
Okay, so I'm a dreamer, and I got two dreams. I think the first dream is for this service. The second dream, I think, is for the second service. And I'll take probably some hits from Jordan on this, because he wants it to be more specific.
Say it, John.
I'm going to say it.
Got to get there, man.
Okay, so I saw like pillars, and from if you look from below, they were like 40 feet high. They were weathered, eroded. On the top side, you could see it as a walking path, but the path was so eroded, it's familiar. So this meets several people here. The path is familiar, but it's eroded. So much so that you can't pass it anymore. it's an impossible path to cross any longer. I don't know if it's like your faith or if it's your job or provision, but I think the word from the Lord is the encouragement to step back into it. You can't take all your stuff with you. If you took a car across, it's going to crumble and you're going to fall 40 feet, and there's like a lot of danger. You're facing danger, and this path that you have to walk past is not easy. You need someone else to come up with you, alongside you. So the encouragement, come up and get prayer. come up and get prayer. Don't leave this house today without getting some support and prayer for breakthrough to be able to get past that path that you're familiar with that has been eroded. There's things that are weathered. There's things that you don't think that it's possible any longer. But all things are possible with God. That's all I've got.
So the picture is of a path, but it's on pillars. So the Lord is saying, there's an elevated path in your life, but it has eroded. You need to get back on it anyway. You may need to give up some burdens of your life, your worldly life, but that's going to be okay. This is the day for you to get back on it. Yeah. All right. John, you got one more.
Okay. Oh, gosh. This guy in the black shirt, can you stand up by Micah? I think you're a real guy of flexibility, and that's a great skill. I think it's a season to be regimented. So this is the season to actually sit, to be disciplined. There's a discipline of like flexibility that I think you have really strong in your life. But the breakthrough, I think, in this season will be kind of like finding a seat, making a home, building a garden. And then I think your flexibility will take you even farther, right? You'll be able to pass that on really well. You're an adventurer, a dreamer, you know, you got a lot of that all over you. But it's kind of a time to just, you know, take a break, hit a pause, have a seat, and see what the Lord tells you personally about that. But I think that will be a glorious next step and next kingdom for you, or next season for you.
Can I add to that? So I saw a fishing pole, which is similar in that you have to, when you're fishing, you have to sit for a long time and just kind of wait, and can be kind of boring. But in the patience and in the waiting, that's where, you know, the catch happens. So just to reinforce, it's a time to just sit and wait.
Okay, another word for you was I saw wings coming off the backside of your shoulders. It reminded me exactly of those who wait on the Lord will rise up. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll soar. They're going to walk and not faint. You know, did I quote that wrong?
Yeah. Isaiah 40.
Run and not get tired, walk and not faint, right? So there's this thing, along with waiting, there's this thing that God's doing in you, bro. It's awesome. So just bless you in your process of waiting for what God's bringing you.
What's your name, sir? David. I saw something for you as well, David, to extend some of these themes. I just heard the Lord say, it's not time to jump ship. Like you have like an institutional involvement, like at work or something like that. And I think you're in an environment where like other people are jumping ship. What I saw was people like jumping off of, like a cutter like you would find in the Coast Guard. And they were sensibly doing it for safety, wearing their life jackets. But you were like, guys, it's not time to abandon this. And I think the Lord is saying for you, no, you need to stay put. You need to not abandon ship right now. Plant or, stick with it. And then, 6 or 8 months, things are going to look so different in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah, yeah, it does. All right, perfect. You got, John's just got a backlog. I'll let you give one. But while John is giving this one, can I get some of the younger folk up? And you know who you are, because you all get to give one. Yeah.
The drummer from Worship Night, could you stand up? I just felt you're an incredibly gifted guy. I think that in this season, the Lord has you like find little check-ins where the Lord's going to drop in specific words. And I think you have a calling for more than worship is great, but there's more. And I just see you, the Lord really speaking to you about creating a vessel of safety. You know, like he spoke to Noah, like nobody understood exactly what Noah was doing. Even Noah didn't know, but then it saved a lot of people. And there's something about you building, you know, a small group, a home, some kind of a men's group that the Lord's going to speak to you about in this season. And just listen for his voice. And I could see you take off your hat and he drops in the words and then you put your hat back on. It doesn't have to be like, you know, it doesn't have to be some big thing. It doesn't have to be, I need an hour a day of quiet time with the Lord. God knows I don't get that personally. But it needs to be like little check-ins, like you're driving and you just kind of keep your ear open and the Lord will speak to you. But have that moment, have a little pause, even 15 seconds, I think it will be very fruitful. And there's a lot of people that will be changed and saved by you kind of building that vessel.
What's your name? I do have a word for you too. Daniel. Yeah. All right. So I just see like the torrent of fire of God over your head. I just hear heaven saying over and over again, protect them at all costs, protect them at all costs. Even when you were a little baby, there's been like assignments on your life to take you out. But I just feel again and again, even if you don't know it, God has always protected you. You have a really powerful calling over your life. And this clock, it strikes midnight right now in the name of Jesus. There's just, heaven is commissioning you right now. You are only, what, 17, 18? You're 19, but your soul is old. Your soul is so much older than that. You come alongside people and you father them. Even people that are naturally aged older than you, you come alongside them and you father them. You come alongside people that are older than you and you're the older brother. And so I just bless this shepherd calling over your life that actually brings in the lost generation into this house in the name of Jesus. I need you guys to extend your hand over him if that's okay with you. In Jesus' name, we just say right now that the calling over this man's life right now would come into place. Purpose, vision, and your pastoral ministry. In Jesus' name, encounter and revelation of God right now in the name of Jesus, and just the fire of heaven over you right now.
Amen. Got another one?
Yeah. Way in the back. Hello. In the back, the gentleman in the white shirt.
Next to John.
Yes. Hi, I'm Faith. What's your name? Vibe? Hi. I just really felt like your reward in heaven is so great. There's things that you've done for God that nobody knows about, but heaven knows. Heaven knows, and I just want you to know that in the last day, when you see Jesus face to face, he will tell you and confirm you, I saw it. Even the ones that you don't think that counts, I just felt like God said that actually meant the world to me. And I just really felt like you were supposed to just set people free. You have keys inside of your pocket that are very specific to the people around you that unlocks them into their greatest potential. And you stand in the back in the shadows, completely content of your role and your place in the kingdom. And God is so pleased with your assurance and your surety in that place. And then I just have a last one. I think you guys have like so many words, I just want to give you a word. I'm going to go 2x because I think I'm already out of time. But I just keep hearing the word grain of salt. Grain of salt, the grain of salt. And I just feel like there is so much feedback that's given to you. And there's just this like one piece that actually is from heaven. And it's that was what gives breakthrough to you. But it's wrapped up in a lot of like, barbed wire. And I just want to say over you, when the expertise you have is being able to take with a grain of salt the feedback that's given to you, and it completely unlocks you into your greatest potential. And so I just really bless every form of opposition that comes your way would cease to exist in the name of Jesus. And the very, very tiny piece that actually breaks the doors open for you would just catapult you to your next chapter.
All right, you guys have about 1 minute each. Aaron, come on up. You got one? All right. You have 58 seconds.
Okay. I feel like I have a word for you if you want to stand up. I felt like God was saying that like the things that you've like struggled through with God, he's going to use it in this next season of life to like support others, whether it's like your friends around you or whether it's people he's going to bring into your life. So I'm just going to say a quick prayer right now. Lord, I just pray right now that any struggles or anything that she's worked through, Lord, I just pray that you would just use it for the glory of you and that it would bring healing to others. And any healing that you've brought to her, Lord, I just pray that you would just multiply the blessings and that you would have an anointing over her life to help others. Amen.
That's a good one. Jace?
Hi. So I have a word for the woman in the sixth row with the white cardigan and the glasses. Hi. Hi. What's your name? Carla. So
Carly.
Carly. Sorry. Okay. So this morning I got like a phrase that God's gonna fashion your tears into bullets. I feel like maybe recently, like God has been putting something on your heart. He's been like breaking your heart for certain things, and you've been feeling a lot of empathy towards like. I think I'm feeling a specific group of people like that you see commonly when you go on walks alone. And I feel like God is gonna use that sorrow and that heart for these certain people to invite change. And he's gonna give you authority in the places that bring you heartbreak. And he's gonna use the things that, you know, tug on your heart as a weapon against the enemy. So, yeah. And then I got another one. Yeah, I got another one for Hannah and Thomas. So this is, I know you guys are very popular.
Last one for them.
Yeah.
For this point, there, it's just like too much.
Very, very similar to what John said about your ministry. I saw an image of a poi pounder. And I feel like, yeah, maybe in this season of your life, there's going to be a lot of like pressure. But like in pressure and stress, but I just want to encourage you to not be discouraged. And that this like pounding and this crushing is gonna, it's like a season of reshaping into something more desirable.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Ella. Now with great aggression, she's going to share this word.
I got one for Trey in the back. So I got like, you were gonna shoot a basketball and then you were like, never mind. And you kept passing it to people instead of just shooting. And every time you pass to someone, they like missed the shot. But then like the one time that you finally decided to make the shot, you got a 3-pointer and it just like swished right in. And I feel like the Lord is trying to tell you like, stop passing things that you aren't trusting to other people. Just trust that the Lord is going to make that basket. Trust that he's going to give you something that you want. And stop trusting other people and worldly things to make those baskets for you because they aren't going to go in. So, yeah. And then I got one for you right here in like the, yeah, you. What's your name? Okay, so I got one for you and it was like arrows and they were going in like a circle. And you kind of felt like you were just going in a circle and like staying stagnant the whole time. But really, like, as you were going in the circle, you were moving forward, but you just felt like you were ending up in the same spot because it was a circle. But the Lord is moving you in a circle, I feel like, and I feel like he's bringing you back to the basics every time. Every time you think you're getting far, you go back to the basics, and you think that's bad, but really, he's moving you at the same time, and he's keeping you grounded in your roots and keeping you grounded in your original faith while growing your faith further.
Keep it simple, baby. Good. Kale, come on.
Hi, Joe.
It's for Joe.
I feel like the Lord is saying that it's time to change tactics. You're a very hard worker, and you do a lot of those things alone, but that also leaves other people behind. And I think the Lord is saying that he wants you to slow down and come down to the other, to the level of other people at their pace, even though it may be slower and hard for you, but it's really going to enhance, I guess, ministering to them and really equipping them and helping them in their growth and in their walk with the Lord. And then Bailey, I think for you, I feel like you have a lot of opportunities just kind of sitting waiting for you, but I think there's only one that really leads to life. And I think the Lord wants you to really sit and look at each opportunity and see which one leads to life and which ones lead to death. So I just want to bless you right now with just a supernatural discernment to be able to pick up the patterns of life and discern the patterns of death, and that you would have the strength to be able to make the decision to choose a life.
Hi, I'm just going to jump in, and this is to add to Joe's word. And so the thing I wanted to make sure I said to you, Joe, is that he's really trustworthy in the slowing down and the bringing along. And I just want to bless you, because I feel like there's a lot of places where you've done the hard work and you moved on your own because you knew the work was important and it needed to get done. And I bless you in that. And now I want to say to you that the next move is that the real work is the bringing along. And so the task is the mode that the method's going to happen in, but the real work is like finding the way to slow down, identify, and bring people with. And I bless you in that, in Jesus' name.
Okay, I got a word for the lady.
Come on out here. Come on out here.
Oh, the lady sitting next to Evan. Yeah, you. Oh, what's your name? April. Okay, nice to meet you. I think, do you have a lot of friends that are unbelievers? Yeah. I feel like God's saying in this season of life, like, you're going to be a mother to them, like, you're going to, like minister to them, and I feel like it's been hard because, I don't know, maybe you've tried before and it, like, hasn't really worked, but I feel like this is the year that, like, there's going to be breakthrough and they're going to be more open, but I just feel like God's saying, like, you have to, like, keep going and keep ministering and keep, like, being a mother who cares for them and, like, checks in on them and watches over them, because this is the year that they're going to see, like, more fruit and your relationships with them. Yeah.
Mel?
I'll be quick. For the woman in the back with the bun and you have the flower in your hair, black and white. Yeah. I just saw this vision of you just surfing and you were riding this, like, huge wave. And it was once this wave that was, like, taking you out. And I feel like this is a season of triumph to, like, take on this wave and no longer let it drown you, but to, like, ride with it and claim it, I guess. And I feel like surfing is something that's solo. So it's something that you've been dealing with personally. And maybe you haven't shared it with a lot of people, but, like, the Lord knows that, like, it's time to let it go and to just ride that wave. Yeah. Okay, and then the woman in the back next to Anna with the mask on and the glasses. I saw you standing under this apple tree, and all of these apples were, like, falling down. But, like, with such elegance, you were able to, like, catch all the apples. I'm not going to demonstrate it now because that would be really embarrassing. But you were able to catch, like, all the fruit that was falling. And so I feel like the apples were, like, people, and you're able to catch people right before they hit the ground. And so, like, you don't even know that you're doing it because you're doing it with such grace that, like, it's not even hard for you to do. But I feel like if you tap in, you can think of examples in your life where you've caught people at the, like, the last moment before they've hit rock bottom. And so I think the Lord just wants you to tap into that in this season to, like, really step into that. And, like, that's going to be your ministry. Yeah.
That's good. And did you have one, Naomi?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. I have one for, you have glasses on your head right there in the, like, the tank top. I got the words, "Don't rain on my parade." And I feel like maybe in this season, you're kind of going through a lot of breakthrough and kind of just experiencing a lot of change. And I think you're also surrounded by a lot of people who you really care about, and they have a lot of influence on your life, and you also influence them. But I feel like you just need to take time, like, for yourself and, like, for yourself with the Lord, and kind of, like, don't let them rain on your parade. And, like, it's not like a get rid of them kind of thing, but it's just like a, you need to, like, be yourself and, like, have like your own relationship with God and like kind of have that like special place with him, just like in this season of your, like your change and like whatever. So I hope that makes sense to you.
You can, do you have like an opportunity to travel internationally or something like that? In the, I'm seeing like an American flag over here. I'm wondering if like, I think the Lord is saying you're fine where you are, and you don't need to be traveling. You don't need to accept invitations that seem exotic or extreme. Does that make sense? Yeah, you're fine where you are. And the Lord's got good things in store for the first half of 2026 for you. So I know I've got a few more words, and I'm sure some of the other folks do, but we are out of time. Yeah. You can stay for the second service if you want. That's fine. But they're lining up outside. So I got to break this. I told you the Lord was chatty, and the problem is like he's always talking. And we're not always listening. So it's probably worth investing as much as you can and listening to the voice of the Lord, or going to one of our small groups and just getting people to listen for you weekly. I mean, this stuff like really counts, guys. I would say my life is built on the truths of Scripture, but my life has been shaped by God speaking prophetically in real time. And it's the path to health and adventure. Can I get you to stand, please, for a dismissal? And I'll just invite, you know, some of the prophets to stay up here up front. Come forward and get prayer for them. You can solicit a word for them. They will be happy to pray for you as we egress and regress into second service. But Father God, I pray that you would complete your agenda for every person here. I pray that regardless of where we are in life, this week would be a freshening. This week would be a freshening. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through the Scripture. I pray that you'd speak to us through our dreams. I pray that you'd speak to us through our Christian friends, but that, as your Scripture says, you would not leave us alone. We are a temple, and temples are where people go to encounter God. I bless you, brothers and sisters, to be living stones in the temple, to be the power and presence of God for one another. In Jesus' name, everybody says,